happy to joy. Do that joy. I'm going to do about yisurin.
Yisurin? Yeah. What is that in English?
Dealing with pain. Pain management. How do I deal with pain?
With yisurin.
Yeah. Because one of the hardest reasons, one of the reasons why we are not happy is because we are experiencing pain. We feel afflicted. So how can we be happy? If I feel, if I have emotional state, I'm getting upset. Or especially if I'm thinking physical ailment. Maybe it just hurts. So how the one am I supposed to get happy? Like, what do you do to be happy? So, the tzaddikim, the tzaddikim, were in a place where nothing bothered them. The greatest pain also, they were ready for it. So the tzaddikim were very, very into pain management. We need to know the first thing about pain management. So then the end of pain management, how do I manage pain? So pain management, the first thing I have to know is there's something called feeling the pain. I think we've spoken about this before. Who was it? I sort of remember. That's a little bit on the tip of my tongue. I don't remember which topic it was. He had a big library. And he heard that it was burnt down. No library anymore. Priceless manuscripts, handwritten things for the Baditcha, the Chidushin that you could just never replace. And he had it. Hornestack already. That's it, it's gone. And he was devastated. Oh, this kind of after a minute or two, he got up and said, okay, you know, why isn't anyone asking me to buy the chayim? We need a tikkun. The Gemara says, you have to make a bracha on the bad, just like you make on the good. Because, after all, be happy. You have to make tikkun when you're on the good. We bring a tikkun, we have to bring tikkun. Bring a little bit of schnapps, make a l'chaim, maybe a little cake. So someone asked to make bring a ticket, they brought a ticket.
So he experienced it, but it wasn't, he didn't identify himself with the pain.
We'll see. Let's find out. So one of the Hasidim said, Rebbe, please don't take this the wrong way, but this looks like travesty. I mean, this doesn't look like genuine, because, I mean, the Gemara says, you feel like good. If you said good, it's l'chaim right away. You put your head down. It hurt. Then it's the chayim. And what's going on? He said, you don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara does not mean you don't feel the pain. It means you feel it, and you get over it, and you appreciate it. Look to Hashem. So if you don't feel it, you're just living in a box. You're living in not a real place. You have to experience it. You can't try to make yourself invulnerable to pain. You're not going to be feeling it all. As the Rambam says, Chas V'Shalom, a person has a terrible... If he doesn't feel it, he's cruel to himself. You can't not feel pain. That's not the idea. You feel it, and then you get over it. That's the idea. So the first thing is to realize that there is a bechina where a person feels like a shock, especially a shock of pain. It's not the chasu shalom. It's not a person that says, who knows what happened. It's like, you can't say, well, this doesn't do anything. It means nothing to me, because it's not a proper insulation. It's not a healthy insulation. It's supposed to be able to feel the pain and then go on. That's the first thing. That can be hard. That's something we need to work on very often. Pushing on the hard. When he was younger, very often he feels vulnerable. When I open the pain, I'm vulnerable to how much I can be hurt. So if you learn how to turn it off, it can be hard to turn it on. It's a big avoda. It can take your whole life. Not so simple.
But if we turn off, can we turn on?
Yes, yeah, of course. But it's an avoda. It's something that's hard. And that's why people do different behaviors to try to, it's a way of blunting the pain, you know. Another piece of cake, another drug, another puff, another l'chaim, whatever, you know, there's no end. There's no end to the different behaviors. We can, like, checklist them and go on and on and on and on. Gambling, right? Another roll the die. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever the behaviors are, those are all of the above, maybe. They blunt my pain, and then, I'm, you know, that's what I need to help me to get through it. I never feel it, but then that's not called getting over it. Fine. That's the first thing. The Kalev Rebbe had a lot of...
Kalev,
yeah. He had a lot of difficulty, and he had physical hardships. And the doctor had to come with him and give him poker treatment or something like that. Burning out. Just, I don't know, you would know maybe better than me, that sometimes that can hopefully help him. So we
like
tried to...
Hot.
Yeah.
Thing. I remember hearing this story a long time ago.
So, yeah, so he gave it to him and the Rebbe didn't react at all. He flinched a little. No crying, no yelling, nothing. And exactly warning me, I probably need to restrain you because you're not going to be able to do this. So he was like, let's try and see. Took a picture, whatever. And the doctor was giving, he can't believe it. He said, I've had these like barons, these soldiers, these, the toughest steel. The first time the guy's screaming his lungs out.
Yeah.
He said, for you, you're okay. What happened? He said, it's very simple. He said, the pain that was, it's over. No point shouting about it. The pain that's going to be, it's not here yet. Who cares? So it's just the second's pain. But for an instant's pain, I have to like yell. You know, Ravinsky also, he had terrible pain. The doctor said, why aren't you screaming? He said, I'm screaming to Hashem, but inside, you have to hear my cries. Like, why? Like, again, there's a kind of a person being in a place where he can do it. Sometimes the pain is so much, or we're just not holding. Which a woman or he would scream, and he'd say, Hashem, I don't mean to complain. But it hurts, so I'm crying out. The different people, how they deal with things. But learning how to deal with pain, it can be a challenge. It can be a very big challenge. Like, how do I deal with this difficulty, especially if there's something bothering me that's it hurts emotionally, whatever, there's a departure, I'm going through something, I'm missing something, I want whatever it may be, and it just hurts. So how do I get to the place where so the first thing the Rebbe recommends you have to know is that every person, every day, endures pain. That's the first thing. So that's what we're in the world for. And we have to learn how to just be light about it and take it. But that's the first thing. You have to know that the salt, just like salt, can cure something and make it last and not rot. Similarly, when we have the teaching of a tzaddik that sweetens us, we can endure the pain. We know it's necessary, it's from Hashem, it's what we need, and okay, thank you Hashem. The Rebbe said, "Behavtu l'recha kamocha." The Rebbe said, "Behavtu l'recha kamocha" is, you should love, the recha means your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself, very famously. I'm going to tell the story later. But, "Behavtu l'recha kamocha," but the Rebbe says a new explanation of "Behavtu l'recha kamocha," it's "Behavtu l'recha kamocha." Recha means your bad, the difficulty. You should love it and appreciate it. It's a kamocha, because where you are, it's a kindness that Hashem's not giving more. Just gives us just what we can handle and not more. So we need to realize whatever I'm in, I can take it. This is what it needs to be. And every person endures pain. That's what everybody says. Why should you go through a life of pain to go to the next world and deal with what pain you have to go through? Try to go through whatever we go through in this world and the next world to connect to Hashem. And it's little things. It really comes down to little things. If I have to have proper pain management, if I have to have just a little change in attitude, a little focus on tachos, this is helping me, and that makes such a difference, such a big difference. Also, not thinking that my pain is different, is higher than someone else's, my pain is more, even if the reason behind it may be harder to deal with. Objectively, I have to be able to relate to every person and say, you know, what you're going through might be harder than what I'm going through for you. I don't know what you're going through. You're missing this, you have this problem, you have that problem. There's one guy, maybe he doesn't even have access to a car, and it's so hard for him. It's like, I don't know, harder than for me, who knows what. I don't even want a car, I forget to have a car. So, of course, I'm okay if I don't have a car. But for him, no car, how do you get around, no wheels, it's just, I feel stymied, I feel stifled, I just can't, you know, who knows what he's going through, knows what's difficult. So the first thing is to realize that everybody has pain. We all go through pain, and that's part of how Hashem sets the world. The only way we get through the world, the Rosh says, the only way a person gets through life is the pain he has to endure. That's the only way I can get through it, the only way I can endure, I can make it, is through pain. It's a famous story with Rosh Hashanah. Someone came to Rosh Hashanah, he had a lot of hardship in his life. Children, who knows why? He said, I just can't. To help me get rid of the pain. And he's sitting in the waiting room, he had a vision. It's a famous story. And he saw that bringing in all of his good things and bad things in heaven, the bad things outweighed by far the good things. And then they bring all this pain to the side of the good things. It's sort of, it's almost laid out. And he's getting more pain, he wakes up, more pain. Rishi says, you see, you come to ask me about the pain. You need this, I'm sorry to say, but this is what you need. Now, the Baal Shem Tov points out that very often, if we're quick, we can limit the pain. In other words, there's a way of realizing when you go from Hashem and you use the pain to call out to Hashem, that's really what we really need. That's the best relief of difficulty pain. Just turning to Hashem and saying, Ribono Shel Olam, please help me. Please help me at least bear this. Help me not feel bad about it. That's the best way of dealing with the pain. So that's the first thing. Like, so this is like a big... Pain is a big killer for joy. So that the first thing is like, you know, have to learn how to know.
But it can be also a big stimulator for joy too. It can also be a big stimulator for joy.
That's a thing. No, that's the next thing. That's when we get there also. That's the there's a different topics. Yes. That will get also too. But the first thing is to know that like it's not pushy, it's not so simple. Dealing with the pain. Like, I have no idea what's good and what's bad. Drama says, well, make a bracha. Maybe the pain is saving your life. We have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. Belinsky told the story of they were in Siberia, right? They were caught in Shabbos, 130 boys from Nevada. And, they're riding out, they're riding away, and, you know, here they are, the way to Siberia, months in the train, 4 months or something on the train, slow moving the train. The boys were like, the lucky ones. So we didn't know this, but the lucky ones, the next day or something, the Nazis came in, and almost no one lived. So the ones who went to Siberia, most of us, we made it, because if you worked, if you were pretty healthy, you could live through Siberia. It was hard. But the Nazis were like, they were trying to kill people. It wasn't just, it's not Siberia. It's not working to rehabilitate you, to make you understand your error, your ways. Here it's like, you are nothing, you're like a cat with a mouse. Eventually, we want you to die. That was their basic. The person had to have a tremendous muzzle to get through the Nazis. So it wasn't so bad. She said, we were saved. They saved our life. She said, we came to the yeshiva. We came to Siberia. We wanted to make yeshiva. That's what we wanted to do. And everyone had brought a book, that he was his favorite book. And everyone had brought a parakum. He said, I was already suspicious of these Russians. They're not going to let us get anywhere. And so I kind of said, I need the bathroom. I sort of went to somewhere way far out. And hit my children where I'd be able to find it. Okay. Also, he had a pistol, a few pages. You know, wherever he had, he left it there. And then he came back, and another friend also had the pistol. Well, he looked, I also need. He went somewhere else. But then they didn't let anyone go anywhere, and so he now get undressed, and they found everything. Put it all together, made it like boom, a bonfire. He said, everyone's devastated. They're like, we have nothing, we're done. We're getting more chauffeur, we're going to kill it, it's all goodbye. So we were totally devastated, and he had someone who had to speak for a minute and a half to give chizik. Emergency meeting, we had a guard outside. You had exactly 1.5 minutes or 2 minutes to give over what you had to give. There were a lot of people, it was dangerous. He said, the most effect made on me was this one person. He says, the verse says that Hashem made the heavens and made the earth. You will certainly, like the Russian apostle, make an end. An end to suffering. So, he says, a person, one of the big problems of suffering is to say, it's going to go on forever. It's going to stay for good. It's not going to stop.
You're saying that we human beings say?
Yes, that's how we feel. We feel like it's going to endure. So Hashem says, no, I made the heavens, I made the earth, and it's not forever. It's planned. It's going to be exactly what it needs to be, and it's going to get better. It's going to get better. So that's the first thing. So we have to know, we're in Siberia, they destroy all of our stuff. Fine, we're going to get through this, we're going to make it. We have to have a lot of holy chutzpah to say, I'm not going to let this take me over. I don't have to, it's my choice. That's because, yes, I need a car. Okay, I'll take walks. I don't know what I'll do. I don't have to buy a bike. I don't know. I'll find a way. I don't have to be devastated. I don't have it. So why you don't have it? What's the big deal? Who cares? That's the bottom line of things. That's a very important point, another very important point of managing, working out that it's not forever, the Kav Rebbe, just this second. And the Rebbe also said, you don't have to, this is planned, this is the way it's supposed to be, it's okay. And to realize that there's a source to the pain. The pain really, like you said, if you turn to Hashem, the source of pain is that I don't have Hashem in my life, I don't have Lichtus, I don't have enough spirituality. When I turn to that, it becomes easy. Like the Zohar says, we want the pain. The pain is what we really want, is just to open our heart to Hashem. We cry to Hashem. That's the biggest blessing, the biggest sweetness possible. person feels, well, it's okay. Hashem helps, gives us the koch to overcome the problem, to get through it. That's really what it comes down to. And every day we have to expect it. That's another biggie that always comes up in many different ways. Peliot's also, he said, why don't we expect that sometimes something's going to come up? You know, the guy might cut me off on the road. I don't have to go crazy. Like, he cut me off on the road. Hey, people cut other people off. You don't have to kill him or yourself. You can just relax. And you have to, you know, everyone, and it happens all the time. You know, we bought a bike last year. Remember yesterday? We went to the bike store. And they said, we didn't sell you this bike. You must have went to our competitors. Like, no, you did. What do you mean? This is garbage. No Shimano brakes. No this. And like, what? It's like, you know, you don't have to be. It's really junky. It's okay. We believe you. But actually, yeah, like, you have a bike, and it's like, you're just like, you're yelling at me because I bought a bike here, and you know, you don't even know, I guess, or whatever. I didn't. You know, I bought it here. No, it can't be. You don't sell this. Like, this is a garbage. At the time, you said it's the same level as a good bike. It folds up. No, it's garbage. So then you have to be ready. You don't have to say, well, this is a surprise. So they always say, like, you know, you think you have a contract, right? A contract. This is not my contract. My contract is that I'm going to have an easy day, be able to learn, be able to dive, and no one's going to get in my way, no one's going to act like a jerk. Well, that's not my contract.
I heard about something you have to read about. He wanted peace. Not to do nothing, to learn Torah, and Hashem said, "That's not what's meant for you."
He had some real hardship.
I learned recently about that he deceived himself. He thought he was somebody he wasn't. He thought he was supposed to be this completely other person. You know, you wanted peace. You wanted peace and quiet to be left alone to be able to study Torah. Not to, I mean, you know, he wasn't doing like idle, you know, idle things, doing nothing. And when the Malach came to ask him, you know who you are? He said, I'm Yahweh. No, you're so. You can't say you're so. You think you know who you are.
That was before then. No, that was before then. It's true. But that was before. But you're right. But Rav Nassim says something very fascinating there. And it's similar to what you're saying in a certain way.
Rav Nassim?
Yeah, Rav Nassim says, like, Rav Nassim of Breslin.
Rav Nassim.
He says something, sorry. He says something very,
no,
very...
No, please.
I just remember. But he says something very, very interesting. He says, you know, Yaakov, you think he wanted to just relax. He wanted to learn strong. He didn't expect, like, you lost a child. It sounds like a little cruel. Like, you want to... Person wants to learn strong. He just doesn't. I don't know what exactly he's expecting. He's like shocked. He's like, what happened? He lost his son for however many years and years. Like that, and the terrible things happened to his. They're going after his son. They're going after his right. The Dina. Like, what's going on over here? So he says, Yaakov was helping people do tshuva. He was bringing people closer to God. And when you want to bring people close to God, it's not a picnic. You have like really hard minyanim coming after you. You have really hard things you have to enjoy and deal with. So it's not. It shouldn't surprise us. Exactly. Yaakov was not surprised. It shouldn't be a surprise because that's just the way. You can't even expect it on any level, but to be ready and willing.
That's what
he says? Yeah. He says you cannot. That's what he said. He said he was bringing Balei Tshuva. Gerim Balei Tshuva. Hello. There's some hardship there. You're helping people like that. It's not
sure.
It's not simple.
I heard something that Lubavitch Rebbe said that was the reason why he gave the bracha to all his shluchim about the bracha for the eger, for the recall to what is it, paraduma, because people think in general it's a super rational chok, right? Mm-hmm. He was saying it's not super rational. It's actually very logical. He said because you think that if you're going to go down in the trenches, you're going to get some dirt on you. So the whole point of the thing is that where you're going to go, the dirt's not going to affect you. So he used to give a bracha to all his tamidim, wherever, or all to all his shulchan, that wherever you want, whatever you're going to, it's not going to affect you. That's what I heard about, yeah.
That's questions. He managed.
He's a
part of
the year, but.
He was a great person. How do you do that? Well, sentences are like a broom. If you sweep where it's dirty, it's going to stick.
That's what
and people there, they manage. Anywhere.
Sure.
Unbelievable. Yes. By and large, they're holding on, holding strong. It's amazing. Look at that.
It's unbelievable. I heard in I think Rabbi Zerboni speaks about it a couple of times, and Rabbi Nassim might have heard him speak about it. Like unbelievable job.
Not pushing. Not simple. Not easy.
No.
For sure. I actually know someone who asked him whether he should be Breslin or Chabad. He said, I'm feeling drawn to Breslin, feeling drawn to Chabad, but what do I do? You have to be straight. Yeah. I can't focus. I can do Tanya. I can do Tanya. Tanya and maybe the three prakim of Rambam. You know, Chitas, three chapters of Rambam, and then I'll focus on resting, or I'll do a lot of Chabad and a little Kutumar. I can't do both. And he understood from the letter and blessed it for him, which is like really surprising to me.
There's a certain vein that I've addressed with him back home. There's certainly very next to really guy. And there is a certain vein that utilized the Tanya. I utilize the Kutumara to evaluate the Tanya. So it's I never heard about it beforehand. So you know, I never heard about it. But I'm saying, obviously, you're talking about people that have been learning for a long time.
Uh-huh.
So
sure,
yeah, not me.
It's very, very deep.
Yeah,
beautiful. Tanya is also very, very powerful.
I said something. I can't be that. I really don't think that the mindset of Tanya for Benoni. Because this whole thing could be a Benonius, and we're not going to focus on being tzaddik. And who's going to choose being, if somebody's going to offer you the chance to be a tzaddik, who are you going to take? The lower half? So I said it can't be that somebody like the Baba Trevi Bala Tanya, and the Baba Trevi there was explaining that you should learn Tanya to be a Benonius. It has to be that's the mindset. You're going to be, that's the mindset. You want to be a tzaddik? Yeah, maybe this is the mindset.
Let's just say different. Benoni, in his definition, is a big, big tzaddik. I will. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I will. Yes. But Benoni is a huge tzaddik.
Isn't there Rabbi in the Gemara that says that he's a Benoni?
Yes. That's what he brings.
But we know everybody from the Gemara. Anybody from the Gemara is able to be amazing.
Yes.
Anybody
exactly.
So
yeah, no,
they're not.
Yeah. So Benoni doesn't need Benoni. But Rabbi Nachman, it's well known. He's called the book for the wicked too, because he helps even the lowest person.
For sure, from Moshe like Moshe.
Yeah, that's his power. Yes,
of course. What does that mean?
That means that the chizuk, the encouragement, the remachin imparts, and the practical advice he imparts can help the person in the furthest place find
the highest place.
And the highest place too.
Yeah. You show the people in the lowest place. That they don't know, they're very close to Hashem, but the people high that they haven't
absolutely
gone anywhere. Yeah,
absolutely. But even a person who's very far. I actually saw Ruth Ginsburg writes in a book. It's like the one thing I read in this book on Kabbalah psychology. Right? My wife wanted to read it. I bought it for her. I opened this page and it says, Rabbi Nachman says it's for the wicked. People say Rabbi Nachman's book is for the wicked, Baal Tanya is for the Beinoni, and Tzaddiki and Mechayesh and Melech, whatever. So he says, you need to know that if you're in a volcano where you hold yourself wicked and it's hard for you to have positivity, he said, the only way you're going to fix that is with me now.
Yeah,
100%.
Said,
you can't
100%
learn, huh? You're going to feel insignificant.
Right.
That's what he writes. And he's from Chabad. Someone didn't believe me. He said, that can't be true, but it is true, actually.
Of course. Actually, I'm not going to explain about the Dalai Lama writes about himself. He's a Khazan.
Yes.
He's a Tzaddik. And he asked, I was in the crossover. I'm going to look at myself and say, oh, there's a point where you are too. It's not a joke.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
It's very sad. That's very sad. You know what I'm saying? It's very sad that people can't look at Zamas a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Absolutely. So we're trying to get to a place where we understand that pain is from Hashem. It's not expected. And I can be happy despite pain. Let's say Nachman's power. And Nachman has the power to give us aces, to give us ways of managing pain in such a manner that we can be happy even like in between the pain. I can be happy anyway.
Now, are we talking about physical and emotional pain?
Yes, both. Absolutely.
I think I remember this one week tomorrow, and maybe everybody knows. I don't remember who's listening. Rabbi Nachman explains that even the most severe pain, we're talking about in the grave, like that can be limited to such an extent. It's very minimal, very, very minimal. The person can make even the worst pain very, very minimal through, I don't know exactly what it was. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I remember.
I don't remember, but actually, yeah, for sure, he helps us, helps a person when he's suffering in the world to be happy anyway.
For sure.
Part of the first thing is to realize that this pain.
No, what I'm saying, if we're going to learn that's some of the hardest pain to deal with, and all the more so, the more lenient stuff, that can be dealt with easy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely,
undoubtedly. So that's the first thing to realize, that there's a certain amount of bitterness that I need. That bitterness helps propel me and move me further. And this is what I need. This is what's helping me to be able to connect to Hashem. So I don't have to feel upset about it. It doesn't have to limit my ability to be happy. I don't have to be this grumpy. How can this be happy? From Hashem. That's what Hashem wants. And I need to learn how to accept that and move forward despite it. That's really what we're... That's our goal. So that's the first. Today's path of joy is this dealing with pain. I don't have to focus on my pain. I don't have to sit and say, oh, this is so bad. That's good. I can just like go, okay. Finish. Limit it. But I can sit and hold on to it. That's the really... That's today. Tomorrow we'll see, like you mentioned before, really about this idea of nullifying yourself to Hashem and transcending the pain. That will be tomorrow's passage to Joy Bless Hashem. See, I'll finish my... Oh, it's